And greetings, everyone. This is Terry Naturally with another edition of Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every same time, every weekend, same place. You can't miss us. Same station after week after week after week. We'll be here. And we want you to be with us. And I hope for this year you are gaining a tremendous amount of knowledge and education on health and nutrition and what you can do about your health. We say it all the time. No one, nowhere is responsible for our health. And no one can change our health unless we want to. And you know, we can. You may not believe it, but we can change our health for the better. No matter how far off you are and how deep of a hole that you've dug with disease and illness and sickness and fatigue and tired and exhausted, you can change all that if you want. And if you follow some principles that will reignite your health, you can do it. No matter how old you are, what you face with health challenges, you can change that. And you can do it better and more effectively than your doctor. Your doctor can't influence your health. Your doctor doesn't know anything about health. Your doctor works with diseases, not health. And you can learn how to prevent disease, treat disease, and reverse the condition that you have by just making the right choices from now on, from here today. Improve the quality of your life. Make better choices. Now we're into February, about 5 or 6 weeks since the first of the year. What have you done to improve your health, to make changes, to have better choices? Are you choosing better? Are you eating better? Have you dumped all the sugar that is absolutely damaging to your health? Are you doing more exercise? Are you getting off the couch? Are you getting outside and, well, maybe not so much in winter, but we still need to move. Even just 10 minutes of exercise pays big dividends, and you can do it. Are you sleeping better? Well, there are really some good natural sleep remedies found at your health food store. You don't need drugs. Drugs are dangerous. Drugs don't help your sleep. They knock you out. And then you're groggy the next day. There are people that have driven to their office or their workshop or wherever they're working in their pajamas. They're still asleep, but they know they have to go and they don't know what's happening to them. There are people that get up through the night and make another meal and leave the oven on and find wrappers in their bed. So are you making enough choices and enough changes to change all this? It's up to you. It's up to me. We make our health. We change our health. The drug companies don't care. They're not on your side. They're selling drugs. They're a business. They're not there for your health. They love it when they make a lot of money. And they can't make a lot of money when you're healthy. So they like to see you on the sick side, that you're filled with diseases, that you need 3, 4, 5 drugs. It pays big dividends, for the drug companies. Don't be fooled. Nobody's on your side. Nobody wants to help you change your health. They can't do it, or they don't want to do it. So it's up to us. And we can change our health. Now, usually, when people make a resolution to change something at January 1 of the new year, by February, they've already stopped. 4 or 5 weeks, and the resolutions have gone out the window. Can you buy that? Well, I think you may be one of them. I'm not sure. But there are somebody out there listening that made these big, big resolutions that I'm going to change the world. And about 4 or 5 weeks later, all gone to naught. It's gone. Ideas are gone. Oh, I broke down. I just couldn't keep it up. Those are excuses. You got to do it. And you can do it if you want to. You have to want to be different. You have to want to have health. And I believe if you're listening to this show, you're waiting for a nugget of health to change your life. There are many nuggets that can change your life. I've seen people turn their lives around tremendously. No more aches and pains. No more sleepless nights. No more overweight. No more pains. All these things have gone. And only after a short period of changes. It only takes 3 to 6 months to have a whole new life. Now, some things we may not change. Sorry about it. But maybe you've let yourself go so far that you have so much damage. Like if you have bone on bone in your knees or bone on bone in your shoulders, you can't change that. But you don't have to have the pain, because you now are eating an anti-inflammatory diet. Because if you're eating the American diet, it's a pro-inflammatory. That means it makes inflammation in your body. All the seed oils, the sugar, the excessive carbohydrates. Instead of eating healthy proteins, healthy fats, and very low carbohydrates, which is an anti-inflammatory diet, you don't have to have the inflammation. And that takes away a lot of the pain and sleepless nights and being overweight or being obese. We can make a healthy, healthy lifestyle if we want to. The bottom line is we have to want to, because it's going to take some discipline. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. You're going to have to make some changes. Oh, and changes are so hard. We have been in a rut for so long. Oh, I can't give up desserts. Oh, I can't give up my bread. Oh, I can't give up my pasta. Well, what do you want? If you want to eat the same old way you've been eating, then nothing's going to change. That's insanity. You've got to want to make those changes. You really need to want to have health, not all the pleasures. And you can still eat really, really well. And it can be very delicious, very nutritious. But you've just gotten into a rut that all these carbohydrates and the American diet is all pro-inflammatory. So today we're going to try to give you some more information how you can change your life. You know, heart disease, the number one killer. Someone has heart disease every 33 seconds. And a heart attack every 40 seconds. It's the number one killer. We'll talk about how you can change that today. We're also going to talk about what are the concerns with seed oils. Seed oils is a new word. We never thought we'd talk about seed oils. Why seed oils? And then we'll talk about, you know what, COVID is back. And some people say it's back with a vengeance. And the cough with it or without it, sometimes you just can't stop coughing. It won't go away. And what are the best-selling drugs? Well, do we care? Yes. If you're on drugs, there's a reason why you're on drugs. Do you need to be on drugs? Can you say no to drugs? And you know, every time you drink a soda, you lose 12 minutes of your life. And then we'll talk about why pomegranate is such a healthy fruit. And is it really dementia? Alzheimer's disease? What is it? Now we have a new form of cancer, gallbladder cancer. Not very common, but now it's on the rise. Why? We'll explore that. And then a closer look at aspirin. Is it good? Is it as good as they say? Well, they certainly try to convince you on TV that it's as good. So maybe it is, maybe it's not. Let's find out. So, heart disease. Let's talk about red sage. S-A-G-E. Red sage. It's been a medicine traditionally for thousands of years. It was primarily used in China, in the Chinese medicine. But now modern research has explored the root of red sage. And even though that has been used as a medicinal treatment for thousands of years in the traditional Chinese medicine, this plant, red sage, contains almost 100 bioactive compounds. That's why we take alternative medicines. That's why we take botanical extracts, herbal medicines. Not because of the plant itself, but what the plant contains. And in this case, it contains 100 bioactive compounds. And it is still today one of the most prescribed medications in hospitals and doctor's offices in China for the treatment of cardiovascular disease, including clogged arteries, blood clots, atherosclerosis, angina, and that is chest pain caused by a reduction of blood flow to the heart. The blood is not getting enough, the heart is not getting enough blood, so it causes chest pain. So what can we expect from the benefits of red sage? It reduces the damage to the heart muscle tissue. It strengthens the heart. It renews the damaged tissue in the heart. It also mildly inhibits platelet aggregation. Now, it's not a blood thinner. It doesn't thin the blood abnormally, but it prevents clotting, can break up a clot. Why? Well, what is platelet aggregation? That means your red blood cells get sticky from inflammation. And when they get sticky, they stick together. They clump together. They bump into each other and they can't break apart. So in time, they form a clot. It's from the stickiness of the red blood cells, which prevents abnormal blood clots. It increases the microcirculation, the veins, the smallest little veins, the microcirculation. And it stimulates nitric oxide production. That means it opens up your vessels, your arteries, more blood to flow through. It makes the muscles relax in the blood vessels to allow blood to flow through more easily. It's called NO, nitric oxide. You know, our arteries and our muscles can contract, get tighter, compressed. And when that happens, it has less blood flow. Blood cannot get through the veins and the arteries. And it helps the blood to flow through the arteries more easily. If your blood vessels are highways, nitric oxide is the engineer turning two-lane gravel roads into four-lane expressways. Opening up the circulation. If you have a hose in your garden and you leave it lay there for a long time, and the sun bakes it, and you've got mud in your side, your hose, and after a while it gets clogged with dirt, mud, sun shining on, baking it. So when you turn the hose on, wow, gee, no water's coming out. Well, it's clogged. And your arteries are exactly the same thing. Your arteries clog with debris. And no water and no blood flows through. How do we open that up? Red sage helps the circulation. So use red sage for whenever you want to prevent heart disease and reduce the risk of heart attacks. It lowers blood pressure. It reduces clogging of the arteries. Reduce cholesterol to deposit and buildup of plaque by 50 to 60%. That's a tremendous benefit for blood flow. I don't know of any drug that I've run across that can actually reduce the plaque. No, they do this with surgery. They do bypass surgery. They clean the plaque out. But over time, red sage can reduce the buildup of plaque by 50 to 60%. It inhibits the formation of abnormal blood clotting without adverse effects on normal clotting. It's not a blood thinner. It doesn't thin the blood so that you have an adverse effect or a side effect. If you got into an accident after you were on a blood thinner, you could bleed to death. There's nothing there to clot the blood. But with red sage, it reduces clotting, prevents clotting, reverses clotting, but does not have an effect on normal clotting. It still goes on. And it improves circulation. In research studies, red sage increased nitric oxide. That means it's opening up the vessels. The arteries are getting more flexible, more elasticity, and it reduces the plaque in the artery. And it increases nitric oxide by 87%. No drug does that. And boosted the circulation, the dilation of the vascular system by 50%. Can you see why this is so important as a medicine in hospitals throughout China? They are more apt to use alternative medicines, herbal medicines. Drug companies here are too, they have to have everything patented. And also the potential helpful for Raynaud's syndrome disease. Limited blood flow in the blood vessels supplying the fingers and the toes. Cold hands, cold feet. Poor blood supply to the fingers and the toes. So what to know about red sage? Well, first of all, you want a very high quality product. You're dealing with your health. You don't want a product on discount. You don't want to buy a product that is cheap that you don't know anything about. And the red sage that we talk about being used in China, all the research is from China. But the red sage that's available in the United States actually is grown hydroponically in Europe. It doesn't come from China. A very high quality hydroponically grown plant in Europe is available now in the United States. Red sage. Now, this plant offers increased disease resistance. Sometimes plant identity is unclear, but in this case, it is clear. It is red sage. And as many as 19 different sage species are used in China. This one is called Dan Xin, a Chinese name for it. Completely pesticide-free. no heavy metals, but we can't say that about the Chinese version. We don't know the pesticide residue or the heavy metal contamination have not been documented. But the hydroponically cultivation, plants are grown without need for potentially dangerous pesticides. They're grown only in water, and the water is fed nutrition. In the water where the plants grow, added minerals, added nutrition. Now, the best way to use the red sage, 100 milligrams of red sage, along with 100 milligrams of also hydroponically red ginseng. Red sage, red ginseng, both hydroponically grown, no need for pesticides, no need for chemical sprays, no contamination. The water is pure and clean, no chemicals added, no toxins available from the soil. Pure, clean water with the nourishment of other minerals to increase the growth of red sage and red ginseng. It will reverse cardiovascular disease and also helps increase energy at the cellular level. Heart muscles require more energy than any other cell in the body. This is always extremely important that you find the best high quality natural medicines available. Red sage, hydroponically grown, with red ginseng, also hydroponically grown. These are two unbelievable plants based on scientific studies. I don't always trust the quality of Chinese medicine. They've done a tremendous amount of research. They have done the science, and they use these in their hospitals. But you never know what company has the best quality coming out of China. It's a gamble. But in Europe, they are now growing red sage and red ginseng hydroponically. No chemicals, no sprays, no pesticides, no herbicides, no contamination from the soil. Soil has heavy metals. Plants that grow in the soil can take up these toxic heavy metals. It has been proven that brown rice that is grown in California has a very, very high level of arsenic. But nobody ever says that. Nobody ever tells that. So we want to avoid the chemicals, the heavy metals, the toxins from the soil. So as it is grown in water, purified water, no contaminants, no chlorine, no fluorides, no toxic chemicals, and only grown in this purified water. There's no need for chemicals. Now, coming up, we're going to be talking about why we should be concerned about seed oils. It's kind of like a new term. We never called oils seed oils. What did we call them before? We called them vegetable oils. Well, I'm sorry. All of these oils that were commonly sold as vegetable oils are not vegetables. They're not vegetable oils. They're not oils from vegetables. They're oils from seeds and nuts. And seeds and nuts and the oil expressed from these can be poorly stabilized and contaminated and rancid. And because they contain a high level of polyunsaturated fatty acids, which everybody says is great because it's not saturated. Saturated is actually even better. Like meat fat, like butter, like cream, like lard. These are very stable, polyunsaturated, because it has open bonds that air can attach to it, oxygen can attach to it, and make it rancid. Seed oils are rancid or highly susceptible to rancidity. But I've got to take a break right here. But I'm going to come back and tell you more why we should not be using seed oils today, why everybody is talking about seed oils being bad. And I'm sure many of you have never heard of seed oils. Everybody buys vegetable oils. Why? I'll tell you that right after this. Stay there. I'll be right back. I'm not going anywhere. I hope you don't have to go anywhere either. Stay with us. I've got a lot to talk to you about seed oils right after this. On Terry Talks Nutrition, I'm Terry Naturally. And welcome back, my friends. This is Terry Naturally with Terry Talks Nutrition. We're here every weekend, same time, same station, same place. You can't miss us. Just make sure you're on the same station. We're here, 8 o'clock, Central Standard Time. And we're here to explore how we can be healthier. And what can we do? Well, the first half of the program, earlier, I talked about heart disease and heart attacks. Every 33 seconds, someone is diagnosed with heart disease. And every 40 seconds, someone in America has a heart attack. Every 40 seconds, someone. Boy, how many heart attacks do we have in America? Every 40 seconds, someone has a heart attack. Heart disease, the number one killer. It's not the best way to go, but, and you know what? 50%, half of those that have a heart attack never know it. They died before they understood what happened. They're gone. It's probably a pleasant way to go if you have had enough years in your life to make it worthwhile. If you have a heart attack when you're 40, that's not so good. But if you're 95, you have a heart attack, God bless you. You slip out of life and into heaven, and you have everything made. But when you're 40, and you've got 3-4 kids, you've got a spouse, that's not good. All the pain of loss, how do you make up for all that financial loss, the relationship loss, a father not being here, a mother not being here? It's not nice. And we have to find some way to protect our heart and prevent heart disease and not have a heart attack. We can do that. And the combination of red sage, S-A-G-E, and red ginseng, two plants that have a tremendous impact on heart health, now available in the United States. It was primarily researched in China. But now there is a source in Europe that grows these plants hydroponically in water. No soil toxins, no contaminations, no heavy metals, no need to use sprays, pesticides, herbicides, or whatever. Very, very high quality, very healthy. And they have a tremendous impact in improving your heart health. But now I promise to talk about seed oils. What about seed oils? Well, once they were called vegetable oils. But vegetable oils are only from seeds, not vegetables. So why do we, I don't know why we ever called them vegetable oils. Well, because they're probably not from meat, probably. They're vegetables. No, they're not. They're seeds. They're actually from grains and seeds, like cottonseed. And I have a bone to pick on cottonseed because cotton is not a crop. It's not, I shouldn't say that. It's a crop, of course, but it's not a food crop. They can spray cotton seeds or cotton as much as they want, and there's no restrictions on how much you spray with pesticides and chemicals. It's not a food. But yet they still take the seed and they extract the oil out and they sell it as cottonseed oil and soybean oil and rapeseed oil. Canola oil is not good. Some people think it's good, but it's not. Let me tell you, don't use canola oil. Well, what do we use then? Olive oil. Extra virgin olive oil. Avocado oil. Macadamia nut oil. Pecan oil. These are all omega-9 fatty acids, which are very, very healthy. They're not omega-6. You want to avoid omega-6. And I'll get back to that in just a moment. But all these seed oils are highly refined, chemically altered, and processed, which is then treated with chemicals and solvents to extract the oil out and remove the odor. Because what they first of all do is they boil the seeds. Why do they boil the seeds? Because that makes the oil much more liquid. So when you use a hydraulic press, you squeeze the oil out, and that causes a tremendous amount of friction, heat. So the heat alters the chemical composition of the oils, causes them to be rancid, and because of the boiling and the scorching temperatures from the hydraulic press, it damaged the oil so severely that it's not natural anymore. And then they treat this bad oil with chemicals and solvents to remove the damaged odor and alterization. Makes them unstable, prone to rancidity. And these oils cause inflammation. Now tell me, didn't you always hear, stop the inflammation, reduce inflammation, inflammation is bad? So then why would you want to use seed oils, which contain a high level, lots of omega-6 fatty acids? Omega-6 is a pro-inflammatory oil. And really, truly, omega-6 and omega-3, two different sources of omega fatty acids, 6 and 3. And they should be in a perfect ratio, 1:1. One part omega-6, one part omega-3. But omega-3 is very expensive. Omega-6 is very inexpensive. So the food manufacturers don't want to use omega-3. Oh, that's too costly. We'd never be able to sell our products. The competitor would beat us out because they use omega-6 and we're using omega-3, way too expensive. So all the food manufacturers use omega-6. So now the 1:1 ratio, or maybe 2:1 ratio, now has become a 30:1 ratio. 30 times omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids. Way out of kilter. Way out of whack. And in a new study, researchers looked at tumor cells taken from human colon cancer patients, and they found very, very high levels of omega-6 fatty acids and very low levels of omega-3 fatty acids. Now, the previous research has found that a 30% increased risk of colon cancer in people who eat high levels of processed foods, including omega-6 fatty acids. You don't want to eat seed oils. If you call them vegetable oils or seed oils, they're the same. The more accurate technical name is seed oils, not vegetable oils. It sounds better. And it sells more oil because it's vegetable oils. Bologna. They're seed oils and they're not worth buying. Don't buy soybean oil. Don't buy corn oil. Don't buy rapeseed oil, commonly known as canola oil. Don't buy cottonseed. And look at the packaging. You'll see these oils being used in the list of ingredients on many food items. If they're packaged or prepackaged or ultra-processed, they're always going to have omega-6 fatty acids. Way, way too high. So ditch all the so-called vegetable oils, now known as seed oils. Just say, no seed oil for me. Not even flaxseed oil. What? Why not flaxseed oil? Hey, it's a seed oil. Yes, it has some omega-3, but very high in omega-6. And don't use sesame seed oil. Sesame seed oil. Don't use grapeseed oil. They're all high in omega-6. Now, the grape has a lot of benefit. It has the compounds that are found from the grape seed, but that's a grape seed extract, not the seed oil. Don't use grape seed oil. Now, I only use avocado oil. Excuse me, olive oil. But yes, avocado oil is good too. But I only, personally, depend on olive oil. But you can also use avocado oil, or macadamia nut oil, or pecan oil. They're all very good oils, because these are omega-9. Now, you've heard of 3. You've heard of 6. You may even have heard of omega-5. That comes from pomegranate oil. But omega-9? Well, these 4 oils, olive, avocado, macadamia, and pecan, these oils are healthy because they contain more omega-3 and omega-9. And I always, always choose cold-pressed, unrefined oils so they reduce inflammation and cancer risk. You want clean, pure, gently expressed oils. They do these under a cold extraction process. Not heat. Not cooking. Not boiling. You damage the oils when you do that. Olive oil is the most purest oil of all. And it's always done either with a stone mill or a mechanical pressure, not hydraulic pressure, because that increases the friction and the heat of the oil. Sometimes that oil comes out of other, like the seed oils, it comes out so hot you couldn't touch the oil. You think that doesn't damage the oil? It kills the oil. So you want fresh, cold-pressed olive oil. And if you buy the avocado or the macadamia or the pecan, ask whoever you buy it from, how do you express the oil? Is it a cold press or is it a hot press? Is it a hydraulic press? You've got to ask these questions. That makes these oils more expensive. But look, it's your health. If you're going to put something in your body, you want to make sure that it's healthy and good for you. Oh, I thought we were done with COVID-19. The norovirus is back. And on the increase, many cases, now on the increased risk. How do we keep it away? Well, last December, new statistics showed that the norovirus cases were double the usual rates of December. December 24, 2024. Sometimes called a stomach bug or stomach flu. And this is going around like crazy. Everybody is sick. Or the winter vomiting disease. That's a terrible name to give it. The winter vomiting disease. Well, I would even change that. The winter vomiting diarrhea disease. Now, that's much more accurate. I've had people tell me they were doing both at the same time. They were vomiting and having diarrhea at the same time. Now, which way do you turn? You don't know. It's a mess. Norovirus is highly contagious. One of the most contagious viruses that causes inflammation in the stomach and intestines, resulting in severe and sudden vomiting and diarrhea. And many people have been taken to the ER just because they were so dehydrated, couldn't stop vomiting and diarrhea. And it spreads so easily. So what do? Hand washing is critical. Wash your hands. Even if you did touch something, wash your hands. Keep your hands clean. especially after using the bathroom. There are so many germs in the bathroom. The virus can be transmitted through feces and vomit. Stay away. Clean your bathroom very, very good. And if you use the bathroom, either way, diarrhea or vomiting, wash your hands, wash your hands. You can't do it too much. Two natural ingredients that can stop the norovirus. You need a multi-antimicrobial. That means it kills all the pathogens, every kind of pathogen. And that can be done with propolis and lactoferrin. Propolis is a bee product. The bees collect vegetation from the environment around wherever they live in, the colony or the hive. Wherever the bees have their home, they collect the vegetation, the resin, the sap, the juice from the vegetation around the area. And that is what we call propolis, P-R-O-P-O-L-I-S, propolis. The bees use it to sterilize their hive, to kill anything that's in the hive that would kill them off. They're protective. And lactoferrin is a protein from milk or whey. Lacto is milk. Ferrin is iron. They both have been shown to block norovirus from attaching to intestinal cells and stop it from spreading and replicating, multiplying. Propolis and lactoferrin together. Get it. Get this combination for prevention. Don't wait. If you wait, and from what I've heard from people that have had the stomach flu, the stomach bug, they wish they would have bought it because it is terrible. Now, some have it only for 24 hours. Some have had it much longer because somehow maybe they've had such a weak immune system that they can't stop it. I saw one guy joking that. He said, I think the paper toilet companies have started a better business for the toilet paper business, because everybody's going through this, right? But you can stop it. Propolis and lactoferrin, both have been shown to block it entirely. But don't wait. You know, if you wait and you get it, it's that much harder to get rid of. Now you've got to try to undo the whole thing. But if you were taking propolis and lactoferrin as a prevention, you could get by with less and prevent the damage. So take this combination of lactoferrin and propolis. There's about 75 milligrams of each of these ingredients, and you can take them daily. There's no side effects. There's no adverse events. There's nothing in the literature, the documentation, the science, whatever. And you can give this to babies. You can give this to the smallest child. Because when the mother, when the baby is born, she may not be breastfeeding, but if she is breastfeeding, that's so much, much better. But there is a colostrum in the first few days of the, in fact, it's not even milk yet. The mother gives the colostrum to the child, and the colostrum is loaded with lactoferrin. So the baby gets lactoferrin from day one. And the lactoferrin is purifying the immune system and jump-starting the immune system to help prevent any damage to the child. So to keep your immune system strong, get 75 milligrams of lactoferrin, 75 milligrams of propolis, and use it once, two, three times a day. And for children, if you can find a chewable tablet, it would be great. I've seen one product out there that has a chewable tablet. And in fact, it was scored. That means you can break it in half really easy. And give it to the smallest child. Even good for ear infection. Fantastic for ear infection, for upper respiratory tract infection, for the stomach bug, stomach flu. All these are caused by viral infection. You can stop it all. But just, you have to be on top of things. You have to start now, not after you get it. Stop that, because you might miss 3, 4, 5 days of work. You might have to stay home with the kids. They might be sick. Or if you're sick, then you're going to stay home. It's just not worth it. I had one friend that he got it, and he's a type 1 diabetic. He went through hell. And the doctors had him on every kind of drug you could think of because they were so afraid of his type 1 diabetes. But nothing ever worked. And then a friend suggested to him, get the lactoferrin and propolis. And he said, one day I was over it. Now, what about that cough that won't go away? This is kind of a different subject. This isn't associated with the stomach flu or the stomach bug. But you can have a cough that just doesn't go away. How do you cure a lingering cough at night? Well, after an upper respiratory tract infection, usually a cough can last as long as 8 weeks. And it's called a post-viral cough. After you've had upper respiratory tract infection, you may or may not have a cough. And the cough is caused by a viral infection previously. Now, what can stop a cough is thyme, T-H-Y-M-E, not T-I-M-E, but T-H-Y-M-E, thyme, the plant, and ivy can stop a cough. Patients with acute cough due to a respiratory tract infection took ivy and thyme. And 87%, now 87%, that's huge, of the subjects that had a significant reduction in cough severity. 87%, the cough was gone. Majority of the subjects were symptom-free in 7 days and safe for kids. This is the time you see all this stuff in winter. Upper respiratory tract infection, sinus infection, ear infection, bronchitis, COPD, all of these bronchial lung problems crop up more in the wintertime. And these are all safe for kids. In fact, clinical trials in Europe, because that's where the thyme and ivy products have been sufficiently and significantly scientifically studied. And this combination of thyme and ivy is the number one product sold in Germany. Safe for kids, any age. Because on clinical trials for over 5,000 children between the ages of 2 and 12, tested the effects of an ivy leaf extract to treat coughs. Children with coughing caused by a viral respiratory infection saw their coughing frequency decline by 50%, and coughing at night stopped almost entirely in a day or two. Children with cough associated with bronchitis after taking ivy had a 30% reduction in coughing intensity and also a near elimination of coughing at night. Another thing that I find very, very helpful for children that cough at night is a product called calcium lactate. Now, there's all kinds of calcium products. Nothing works like calcium lactate. No, it's not from milk. They use lactic acid in a combination with calcium to increase the absorption. So calcium lactate. Pure calcium lactate tablets or powder given to children will almost stop their cough immediately. Sometimes they may not even have a cough or a cold. Excuse me, they may not even have a cold or a respiratory tract infection, but they'll lay in bed at night coughing. Drives you crazy. You can't get any sleep. They can't get any sleep. You're worried about them. And you know, sometimes it's just because they are so active, especially if they are out in the sun a lot. Of course, wintertime, not too much now. But in some areas of the country, yes, we still have sunlight. And if they are outside in the sun running, they are using up all their calcium. So if you give them calcium lactate, it stops the cough almost immediately. And you go back to bed, they sleep, you get a good night's sleep, everything's fine in the morning. So with that, my friends, I'm all out of time. Boy, I can't think I should be here for 2 or 3 hours. I would love it. But I'll be happy. I'm happy with an hour. So my friends, until we meet again, say a prayer for this crazy world and say a prayer for us going back to more normal, hopefully more normal conditions in America. This is a great country. Let's not make it any worse than what it is. God bless you, my friends, and God bless this great country.